Tonight, turn to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. Now, this is the 15th of January. We're halfway through the first month of the year. Now, as we negotiate to follow the coming year, we know some things we will face, but there's a lot of things that we don't know we will face. They're unknown to us at the present time. Now, when Moses died, God told Joshua he was the new leader of Israel. And he told him here in these verses I'm going to read, he said, be strong and courageous. And let's start with verse number 6 of the first chapter. Be strong and good courage, for to this people you should divide an inheritance, the land which I swore to their forefathers to give them. I want you to notice that, to give to them. Only be strong and very courageous. That's twice already. He's told him to be strong and courageous, or be strong and of good courage, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. Now drop down to verse 9. Have I not commanded you, be strong and of a good courage? Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Now, prior to this time, Moses had already ordained Joshua to be the leader of Israel. Now, I want you to turn over to the book of Deuteronomy. That's the fifth book of the Pentateuch. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy is actually, when you study Bibliology, Deuteronomy is actually a condensed or composite version of Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers. It's just a start. Well, I might say it like this: how many of you ever had to read a book and give a book report? Well, if we're in school, we did. You couldn't tell the whole book, so you gave a condensed story of it, right? Well, that's what Deuteronomy is. It is a condensed version of what happened. Now go down to Deuteronomy 31 and go down to verse 22. I'm sorry, I didn't give you the chapter verse there a while ago. Go down to verse 22. Therefore Moses wrote this song the same day and taught it to the children of Israel. Then he inaugurated Joshua, the son of Nun, and said, be strong and of good courage, for you shall bring the children of Israel into the land which I swore to them, and I will be with you. Now we go back over to Joshua 1 and verse 16. I'll let you turn there. Joshua is now talking to the people about taking over, or he had talked to them about it, and now they're talking to him, back to him. So they answered Joshua and said, all that you commanded us we will do, and wherever you send us we'll go. And just as we heeded Moses in all things, so will we heed you. Only the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. And whoever rebels against your command and does not heed your words in all that you command shall be put to death. Only be strong and of good courage. Now, as we've looked at this, here is five times on three different occasions that Joshua is told to be strong and courageous. So the key to being successful when you're facing the unknown is to be strong and of good courage or courageous. So, courage means being bold or being confident. And, you know, many places in the Bible we're told to be confident. Now, actually, here you say, well, why is he telling to have courage? Well, you know, to take over from Moses, that took some courage. You know, I found that out myself, even though I've been working with Dad for 31 years, and Moses had been working with Joshua, been working with Moses. It's a different thing to be working on doing all the work underneath while they're up here at the head. And it's another thing to step in that position. I found that out in September of 2003. You need courage. You have to have courage. You know, and he had to have courage. And he had to believe that God was with him. Now, you know, put yourself in Joshua's shoes. How difficult would it have been to follow a great leader like Moses? It's always difficult to follow a great leader. Just playing high school sports. You know, the star guy, he graduates, and now you're thrust into his position. Anybody ever been there? That's not any fun either, because now everybody's expecting you to do what he did and maybe even more. That takes a lot of courage. Hello? And it takes a lot of strength. You know, it's challenging to think. Joshua had to think all of a sudden, oh, I got to lead all these millions of people. I don't have Moses to go and talk to. That's what I thought. 2003, I can't go down to Dad's office no more and talk to him about what we're doing at Rhema around the world. So now, here, Joshua had to begin to see the things the way God saw him. I want you to notice he had to get the right viewpoint. I want you to notice that it could have been an extremely bad time or extremely good time. If Joshua had looked at the situation as it was troubling. And that would have put him under pressure. Or he can look at the situation as an opportunity for God to do mighty things. You know, the truth is, we have to begin to believe that if God said we could do it, we can. That's what he had to believe. You see, if God said it in his word, then we must be able to accomplish it, or he wouldn't have told us that we could. Now, on the other thing, I want you to notice that he said here, I've already given them the land. Now, if somebody's given you something, let me go back just a minute here, because I just got ahead of myself and I didn't read a scripture I needed to read. I got to thinking too fast. I do that sometimes, you know. Y'all were listening so good that I got ahead of myself. You know, I go to Numbers 33. Numbers 33. We'll go down to verse 50. Okay, ready? Now the Lord spoke to Moses in the plains of Moab by Jordan across from Jericho, saying, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when you have crossed the Jordan into the land of Canaan, then you shall drive out all the inhabitants of the land from before you, destroy all the engraved stones, destroy all their molded images, and demolish all their high places. You shall dispose of the inhabitants of the land and dwell in it, for I have given you the land to possess. Now, just a minute, possess. If somebody said that they'd given you a car and it's parked at such and such and they give you the keys, all right, now, they've given you the car. They sign the title and give you the title and the keys. What do you have to do to get the car? You got to go possess it. You got the key and you got the title, but you haven't possessed the car. Hello? God told them, I've given you the land. So they had to courageously believe that God would follow through and do what he said. See, I want you to notice that they didn't passively sit around waiting on God. You know, if you're not careful, fear will rise up in you when it comes to the Word of God and saying what God said about you and saying what the Word of God says about you. Fear will rise up. You know, I mean, whenever I had to take over the reins of Rhema, even though I've been working there and doing stuff for 31 years, the devil tried to jump on me. I had to get that scripture. I've not been given a spirit of fear, but a power of love and a sound mind. You see, you need to quote the scripture, because now here in Joshua 1:8, it says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, and you may observe to do according to all is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. See, I want you to notice that you need to meditate on the Word of God. Meditate on the Word of God. Think about the Word. You know, now the word here in the Hebrew literally means to mutter to yourself, mutter the word to yourself. Have you ever, maybe you'd read the instruction, you was putting something together, and as you was putting it together, you're muttering, now this goes here, and this goes, you know, anybody ever done that? Anybody ever studied for a test, and then you go and you just sort of mutter it over to yourself? See, you're getting it in you. That's why, see, meditating on the word comes back to thinking about the word and then speaking the word. So your mind and your mouth are involved. Your mind and your mouth involved. You not only think the word, you speak the word. You know, now meditating the word transforms you into being courageous. You know, if you begin to meditate on the word, you'll begin to see things the way God sees them. You won't see them in the natural. You see, so much of the time we are looking in the natural, but God is looking at it from a different perspective. We've got to begin to look at life that we're living the way in the perspective God looks at it. See, instead of looking at a problem in front of you, you look at a victory in front of you because God said that you're more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. Let me understand that. See? Now, it helps you to do what's written. I want you to notice here in this, it says, this book of the law, talking about the law of Moses at that time, but we're talking about the law of God right here in our word, the word of God, the Bible. He says, don't let it depart out of your mouth. That means keep speaking it. Keep speaking the word. But you shall meditate in it day and night. See, don't let it depart, but you shall meditate. Remember I said that the word there in the Hebrew, from the Hebrew, was muttering? And look at that scripture. Does that not confirm it right there? That you may observe to do according that is written in it, for then you'll make your way prosperous, and then you'll have good success in life. See, there's a lot of people that are wanting God to bless them, but they're not doing what God told them to do to get blessed. Boy, y'all are quiet now. Sure glad I learned to preach when I was with my father-in-law as a pastor, associate pastor. He threw me in the pulpit every Sunday night for 6 months, and the people sitting there looking at me, they had been filled with the Holy Spirit longer than I was old. And they just sit there and look at me and be quiet. So I just learned to preach anyway. See, some guys, if they don't feel any feedback from the crowd, they get all flustered. Don't bother me none. I just keep on going. The truth is the truth, whether anybody wants to accept it or not. You see, do all that God's word tells you to do. You go back there to that, there in Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in day and night, that you may observe to do part of what's written there. Huh? Part? All. You know, there's a lot of people praying, oh, Lord, bless me. I need a financial blessing, Lord. And they never give the Lord a penny. He didn't say it, bless you. He said, if you give, I will bless, right? Now, a lot of people get upset at you when you start talking about giving, but that's what the word says. But they want the prosperity of what the word says without doing what the word says. Yes. Amen. You know, a lot of people say, you know, they're sitting around, Lord, bless me. He said, whatever you put your hand to, I'll bless. Yes. You ever read that in there? Anybody ever read that in the word of God? Yeah, yeah. You know, some people sitting around, Lord, give me a job. I need a job. I had a student come up to me years ago over there at the school, Raymond, and they said, I'm just praying that the Lord will give me a job. I said, you got to do more and pray. He's talking about, I said, listen, they're not going to come and knock on your door and say, will you go to work for me? I said, I saw three signs in three businesses. I drove down 71st Street coming to school today that had said, now hiring. You're not believing God for a job. If you're believing for God for a job, you go out and look for one. You know, that's like the old guy told me one time. I think I've told you that, but I tell it again. He told me, I'm believing God for a car. I said, no, you're not. He said, I know who I am. I said, no, you're not. I said, if you was believing God for a car, you would clean all that junk out of your garage so you could get your car in it. I said, you couldn't get a car in the garage now because you're not believing he's going to give you a car. If you really believed it, you'd begin to prepare for it. One kid heard me preach that one time, and he started believing God for his car, and he went and bought him polish and soap and a bucket and a sponge. And a hose. You know what? He got a car. He prepared to receive a car. Sometimes we talk about believing God for something, but do we prepare to receive it? And then when some people, I've heard them say, oh, I just can't believe it. God does it for them, and they say, I just can't believe it. Hello. I'm talking about the word of God, meditating on the word of God. He is saying here, the secret to be successful is meditate on the word of God, which will make you strong, and then you become courageous to go out and to begin to make it happen in your life. Thinking and speaking about the problem will lead to fear and doubt. Thinking and speaking God's word leads to strength and courage. So the key to success is to meditate on the word. Meditate on the word. You know, Psalms 27:14 says, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Now, wait on the Lord here doesn't mean to sit around passively on the couch doing nothing. I've already been talking about that. Rather, waiting on the Lord means meditating on the word, talking about the word, doing or waiting on the Lord means that's what you're doing. You are doing something. You're not being passively sitting by. To properly wait on the Lord, you meditate on the word. This fills you with courage, and it leads you to get up and take some action. Hello. When we face challenges, you got to be courageous and you got to be bold and step out. You know, many people are sitting around waiting on God to do the spectacular. My dad had a saying. He said, there are too many people are looking for the spectacular and missing the move of God. See, I've come to notice sometimes there's some spectacular things that happen with God, but most of the time God moves on us in that still small voice, urging us to do something, moving us to do something. Not spectacular at all. See, but people are waiting for the spectacular to happen. And then they get in fear because of they don't see something happening and they hear all this stuff. Hey, I want you to notice that you either fall into the category of waiting on God and for something spectacular to happen, or you fall into the category of waiting on God by meditating in the Word and becoming strong and courageous and step out and begin to make something happen. Hey, can you imagine Joshua leading those several million people across the Jordan River, and there stood Jericho? Now, if you've ever done any research, you'll find out that Jericho was the most fortified walled city. It had never been taken by anybody. The walls of the city were so wide that you could run two chariots side by side around the walls. The people lived their houses in the walls. It was a fortified city. Now, here he is. He gets all the people together. Now, this took some courage. He get all the people together. He said, okay, guys, you see that city there? We're going to camp out here. Now, every day we're going to get up and we're going to march around that city one time. And we're going to come back to the camp. We're going to do that for 6 days. And on the seventh day, we're going to march around that place 7 times. And then we are going to go crazy, blow the trumpets, and the walls are going to fall down. I mean, that took some courage to get in front of a crowd and tell them that. Especially though, because you can read in the Word of God where Israel had an army. You can read about it. Hey, I'm pretty sure that didn't go over too good with those old army generals, because that's not the way you take a city. Hello? Sometimes as you're reading the Word of God, God begins to deal with you about something, and you say, well, that's not the way to do it. Well, if that's what God's saying, it is the way to do it. See, some of the people might have said, well, Joshua, what if it doesn't happen? See, he thought, hey, don't be in fear. Refuse to think that way. Refuse to entertain those thoughts, because this is what God said. That's what you need to think about, is what God said. You need to get excited about the fact that on the seventh day, these walls are going to fall down. You need to be so excited you can hardly wait. You ever been so excited you can hardly wait for a day? As a kid, I know you were. So excited for the day to come. You're going to do something, you know. Remember, I don't know, get excited at Christmas time. Kids get excited waiting for the Christmas day, because that's when they're going to get something. Hey, we need to get excited about what the Word of God says and expect it to happen. You know, there's so many times that you have to realize that God has already said it. He told them, I'm going to give you the promised land. Now, what we need to come back and realize is that the promised land is a type of our salvation. You see, God said, I'm going to give you the land, but they had to go possess it. We're living in our promised land, but we have to take the Word of God and possess everything that belongs to us. That's just a type. You know, some people want to think that Canaan's land or the promised land was heaven. Well, it couldn't be, because there's no battles in heaven. They'd stand and say, on Jordan's stormy bank, I cast a wishful eye over there where the city lies, and all that kind of stuff, you know. in the sweet by and by, we're going to get better. Well, thank God for all that. Thank God for when we all get to heaven. That's the song we used to sing. Heaven, I guess I should say, instead of heaven. But anyway, that's the way I talk, where I come from. But, you know, we need to get excited about living for God down here, because he said that we, if we'd be strong and courageous, that we could have whatever he said in his word. He told the children of Israel, I'm giving you the land, now you go possess it. He's told us here that he's already given us healing. He's already given us the prosperity. He's already given us all these things. He even told us, he said, no weapon formed against you will prosper. You got to believe it and say it. I don't know how many times a week I use there. I've not been given a spirit of fear, but a power and a love and a sound mind. I say it two or three times a day usually. And I at least twice a day when I pray over food, I in my prayer for my food, I'm thanking God for my food and thanking God for everything. And then I'll say, you know, take sickness from amidst, give us health and healing. No weapon formed against us will prosper. I am quoting the God's word when I pray over my food. You need to learn. You need to quote the word of God. It helps you to be strong. See, quoting the word of God builds you up. How many of you have ever worked with, how many of you guys, I don't know about you gals, but how many of you guys ever worked with weights? You have to continually build those muscles or you'll lose them, right? Like I have. I used to could do it. But, you know, that's what you have to do with the word of God. You got to continually, you got to have your workout. If you want to maintain strong muscles, then you have to have a continual workout schedule. Okay, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we work on upper body. Tuesday and Thursday, we work on the lower body. Right? You know, there's some schedule. Or you might have Monday and Friday work upper body. Tuesday, Thursday, we work lower body, and Wednesday, we do cardio. That means endurance, strength, running, breath. Hey, that. How many of you have ever worked out and you had a schedule? Yeah. I know Nathan back there is a fireman. I know down when I was associate pastor down there in Garland, a lot of the guys went and got on the fire department, and I know they had a workout schedule that they stayed on. If you're going to get advancement, you got to be able to pass the test. Hello, you know, I told you about my grandson. He's going to the Marines, and he's been working out with one of the Marine recruiters. They've been working them out, getting them ready, because they're gonna face it when they get there. Hey, we need to be ready, because he's already said the promises are ours. Now we need to go, and we need to have a rigid schedule where we study the word, where we know what the word says, so whenever the devil puts a squeeze on us, out of our mouth doesn't come, oh my God, what am I going to do? Out of our mouth comes, I'm a more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. I'm an overcomer. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. I'm healed. I'm whole. Hello. Let me understand where I'm coming from. Anybody getting anything out of this tonight? Okay. Hey, right now it's almost time to quit, so everybody stand up. I want you to say it. We're gonna do a little exercise right now. All right, I want you to say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, this is what you need to do. I'm showing you how to get it. You know, I have the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ.
I have the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ.
Always triumph in Christ Jesus.
I always triumph in Christ Jesus.
Have you noticed these are coming from the Bible? These are coming from the Word of God. These, I'm more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ.
I'm more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ.
Nothing can separate me from the love of Christ. I'm strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. No weapon formed against me will prosper. I do not have the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. I am strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. This year, I will rise up and be strong and courageous and possess all that belongs to me. Now put your hands up and thank God for it. In the name of Jesus, we thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Glory, glory, glory. Now, you need to continue daily exercise of going over some of those scriptures. You don't have to do the same ones. And it doesn't have to be a long time. Just do it. I think that's a famous saying by some company. Praise the Lord. Well, did you get anything out of this tonight? Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, if you're here and you don't know Jesus, I'd like to pray with you. I never like to give an opportunity or rededicate your life to the Lord. I always do that. Praise God. That's what I do. Anybody here need healing? If you need healing, come up and I'll pray for you right now. The Word of God says, by His stripes, you were healed. If you were, then you are. Amen. Hallelujah. Reach your hands out toward us. We pray for it right now. Heavenly Father, I thank you that the anointing and the power of God's going into this body to effect a healing and a cure in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You coming for healing? Come right over here. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you right now. We lay hands on him. I thank you for the healing power of God flowing into this body from the top of his head to the sole of his foot in healing power in Jesus' name. Raise your hands and thank God for the healing power of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Well, praise God, praise God, praise God. Glory to God. Well, next Sunday night, 6 o'clock right here. Come believing, come expecting. Get on an exercise of meditating in the Word so you'll be strong and courageous and you can possess your land. Praise God.